Our gospel lesson this evening comes from the book of Matthew, chapter 11, verses 2 through 11. When John, who was in prison, heard about the deeds of the Messiah, he sent his disciples to ask him, "Are you the one who was to come, or should we expect someone else?" Jesus replied, "Go back and report to John what you hear and see. The blind receive sight, the lame walk, those who have leprosy are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised, and the good news is proclaimed to the poor. Blessed is anyone who does not stumble on account of me." As John's disciples were leaving, Jesus began to speak to the crowd about John. "What did you go out into the wilderness to see? A reed swayed by the wind? If not, what did you go out to see? A man dressed in fine clothes? No. Those who wear fine clothes are in king's palaces. Then what did you go out to see? A prophet? Yes, I tell you, and more than a prophet. This is the one about whom it is written, 'I will send my messenger ahead of you who will prepare your way before you.' Truly, I tell you, among those born of women, there has not risen anyone greater than John the Baptist. Yet whoever is least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he." This is the word of the Lord. May we pray. We thank you tonight, O God, for the opportunity to worship you. We pray your blessing on the reading and the hearing of your word. And especially during this season, Lord, may you fill our hearts with joy. This we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. How many of you have paid attention to the Christmas lights in your neighborhoods and as you drive along the roads? Anyone paying attention to those? It's important to pay attention to the Christmas lights. I was driving with my family from Athens, Ohio, back to Columbus over the weekend, and Saturday evening I noticed a house between Logan and Lancaster that probably sat on about 15 acres of property, and I was amazed by the amount of lights this family had put out. The entire house was covered in lights. The lane that led from the road up to their house was covered in lights. There were decorations all through the property, reindeer and snowmen and Santa Claus. And even up into the woods behind their house, there were random trees covered in lights. I don't know how long the extension cords must have been, but they had done their work. It was just a beautiful thing to see. Some of you may know that in the next couple of days will be the longest night of the year. It's called the winter solstice. The dawn has become later and later. You've probably already noticed that. The sunsets are earlier and earlier. And on, I think it's the 21st, this Saturday, the day will be short and the night will be very long. And we call that the winter solstice. It should not be surprising to any of us tonight that we put out lights to celebrate this season of Christmas during the darkest time of the year. I live about a mile north of the Columbus Zoo. And so every morning on my way to work and every night on my way home, I have an opportunity to see the zoo lights. I will tell you, just honestly, I don't pay attention to the zoo lights because I see them all the time. So my challenge for us tonight is simply to not take the light for granted. We are living in a very dark time, literally a very dark season, and I want to encourage you tonight to pay attention to the light. Now, the key theme for the season of Advent is preparation. We are getting ready for something. Certainly, we're getting ready for Christmas, but more than that, we're preparing our hearts to encounter God's presence. And so tonight, as we take a look at this passage from Matthew chapter 11, the story of John the Baptist in the last days of his earthly life and ministry, I ask you, as you heard this story about John being in prison, did you hear the joy in his words? And the answer, of course, is, well, no. I didn't hear the joy in John's words. Let me read it for you again from Matthew 11, verses 2 and 3. When John, who was in prison, heard about the deeds of the Messiah, he sent his disciples to ask him, "Are you the one who is to come, or should we expect someone else?" Now remember, John is the one that the Lord had sent to prepare the way for the Messiah. And I want to suggest to you tonight that John was in a situation in his life where his joy was being stolen from him. We need to watch out for joy stealers. It's very easy for us to lose our joy, even in this time, and I may even say especially during this time of year. It seems that there are all kinds of reasons why our joy could be stolen. Let me suggest just a few. Many of us have plans that are made for us or ones that we make for ourselves during this season. I looked at my calendar the other day and it dawned on me that every Saturday during the month of December was filled with something, which usually involved long hours in the car. Busy, busy, busy. That can become a joy stealer if you're not careful. You know what else can steal our joy? Relationships. It can steal our joy. Especially during this season, as we are perhaps gathering with family and friends, some of whom we have strained relationships with, or perhaps it's a reminder of relationships that have been separated for a variety of reasons. It can be a joy stealer. I won't spend much time talking about this. I'll just use the word finances. That can be a joy stealer. Problems with our health or the health of a loved one, that can cause us to lose our joy. But you know what else can be a joy stealer? Just the expectations of what we think the season is supposed to be and the reality of what it is for us. I want to encourage you, as I might encourage John the Baptist, watch out for joy stealers. I love how Jesus responds to John's disciples when they take John's questions to him. You remember the question, "Are you the one who is to come, or should we expect someone else?" And Jesus replied and said, "Go back and report to John what you see and hear. The blind receive sight, the lame walk, those who have leprosy are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised, and the good news is proclaimed to the poor." Didn't John already know this? Hadn't he already read it in the Old Testament and the prophecies of what the Messiah would do? Hadn't John already seen it with his own eyes? Well, the answer is yes, and yes, and yes. John had already heard. We learned that in the first few verses of what we read tonight. Listen again. When John, who was in prison, heard about the deeds of the Messiah, he had already heard what Jesus was doing. Had he already seen what Jesus was doing for himself? The answer is yes. In John's Gospel, the first chapter, it says this, "The next day, John saw Jesus coming toward him and said, 'Look, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world.'" John had already heard and he had already seen who Jesus was and what Jesus could do, much like us sometimes. Here's the lesson. We often lose our joy when we forget what we already know. That's why it's important to have reminders. To have reminders all around us of who Jesus is, what this season is all about, and to remember the power of God that's at work in us and around us at all times. We often lose our joy when we forget what we already know. I've always appreciated the teaching and ministry of C.S. Lewis. You maybe have read C.S. Lewis's work before. But C.S. Lewis has often been quoted as saying this. Sometimes, he says, we don't need to be instructed as much as we need to be reminded. We need to be reminded. And that's where John is in his life, as he's wasting away in prison, wondering what's going to happen to him, hearing about what Jesus is doing in his world. And he asks the question, are you the one who is to come? Or should we expect someone else? And Jesus so patiently and lovingly says, just go back and tell John what he already knows. In verse 6 of Matthew 11 tonight, there's a verse that I want to spend a little bit of time with. In the translation we read, it says, blessed is anyone who does not stumble on account of me. That was part of the message that Jesus said in response to John's question. Blessed is anyone who does not stumble on account of me. Other translations use the word offended, which I find very interesting. Blessed is anyone who is not offended on account of me. We might ask ourselves, how could anyone be offended by Jesus? It happens every day, friends. And it happened in Jesus' day. People were offended by what Jesus said or what he did or what he didn't say or what he didn't do. They were offended by who he claimed to be, the Son of God. They were offended by Jesus. On Saturday night, I made it home in time to watch the presentation of the Heisman Trophy. I don't know if you got to see any of that or not. I don't even know if you know what the Heisman Trophy is. If you don't, Google it when you get home. If you did get to see it, then you know that there was a young man named Joe Burrow who plays quarterback for the LSU Tigers who won the Heisman Trophy. And he gave a 7-minute acceptance speech that was just out of this world. If you haven't seen it, I invite you to look it up and listen to what he said. I was telling Pastor Herman today, one of the comments that Joe Burrow made, he grew up in Athens, Ohio. And he made a reference to being just a kid from Southeast Ohio. And when he said that on television, I said, me too, Joe, me too. But he made a reference in his speech about kids in Athens County being one of the poorest counties in the state of Ohio and how many of those kids grow up in the everyday life, sometimes struggling to have enough food to eat. And I told Pastor Herman today, there's been over $350,000 donated since Saturday night to the Athens County Food Pantry because this young football player made a reference to the need that exists. And I texted a friend Saturday night after Joe's speech, and I said, how can anyone not like this kid? And then I got on social media and watched various people from around the country questioning his integrity, saying he should have stayed at Ohio State. Can anything good come out of Ohio? And I thought, boy, people can be offended by just about anything. My opinion, Joe's speech, as well as his very character, demonstrate perseverance and humility and gratitude, which begs me to ask the question, why are people so easily offended? I don't know. But I would ask us, why are we at times easily offended? Maybe it's because we feel slighted by someone or something. Maybe it's because we're grieving. Sometimes we're grieving and we don't even know it. Sometimes it's because we're tired or overwhelmed by stress. And sometimes we're easily offended because there's too much going on. There's too much change going on in our life, and we lack the capacity to navigate that. Another question we might ask ourselves tonight is, was Jesus ever offended? If anyone had a right to be, it would be Jesus. He was chased by demons and plotted against by religious leaders. He was stalked by lepers and deserted by his own disciples, doubted by his own family members. And then he gets this message from John, his cousin, John. the one whom God had sent as the precursor to his coming as the Messiah, the one who baptized him, for goodness sake, the one who saw the dove come out of heaven and land on Jesus, as the Spirit said, and the Father said, "This is my Son whom I love, with him I'm well pleased." And John sends word to Jesus and says, "Are you the one who is to come? Or should we expect someone else? If anyone should be offended, it would be Jesus." But he's not. He's not. He's not offended. Because Jesus knows that taking offense, whether justified or unjustified, will impede the miraculous in your life. I was telling someone the other day, it seems to me that our society is trained to wake up every morning just to find out what we're supposed to be mad about today. Got to turn on the news to find out what I'm supposed to be offended by. I need to get on social media to see what I'm supposed to be mad about. It's not the way it works, friends. Because the more we live into that kind of life, the less we will see the miraculous in our life. And so if taking offense impedes the miraculous, then we need to make room for the miraculous. Let me suggest a few ways to do that, especially in the days of the season that lie ahead for us. Listen more. Listen more. James chapter 1 verse 19 says this: "Everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry." Listen more. Be forgiving. Be forgiving. Colossians chapter 3 verse 13 says this: "Bear with each other and forgive one another. Forgive as the Lord forgave you." Listen more. Be forgiving. Pray. Matthew 5:44, Jesus said, "But I tell you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you." Listen more. Be forgiving. Pray. Serve and give. Acts 20:35, "It is more blessed to give than to receive." Friends, I suggest to you tonight that if we listen more, if we're willing to forgive, if we pray for those who offend us or persecute us, if we're willing to serve and give, we'll see the miraculous in our life. I don't know what happened when John's disciples went back to that prison. I can only imagine as he sat in the dark, dank prison cell that was his for the remainder of his days, that his disciples must have whispered through a crevice in the wall. This is what Jesus said: "The blind receive sight, the lame walk, those who have leprosy are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised, and the good news is proclaimed to the poor." I don't know for sure, but I can only imagine that John maybe had a smile come across his face. Because he recognized what he had already known but had forgotten, that Jesus is the one, and there's no need to look for another. He probably remembered Isaiah's words that the Messiah would strengthen the feeble hands and steady the knees that would give way, that the Messiah would say to those with fearful hearts, "Be strong, do not fear, your God will come. He will come to save you." Or as we've been saying during this sermon series for Advent, help is on the way. So as you leave this place tonight, make your way down the street or up the highway to get to your house, I want to encourage you to pay attention to the lights. See the beauty and the miraculous that already exists in this world and know that God is at work. And I think when we do that, we might experience some joy. May it be so. Let us pray. Lord, there is so much that has the power to steal our joy. But I thank you tonight, Lord, that the Holy Spirit whom you give to us is more powerful than all. As your word says, greater is he who is in us than he who is in the world. So I pray for these people tonight. I pray for myself that in the days ahead, in the midst of busyness and planning and traveling and all the other things that are associated with this season, that the joy of the Lord would truly be our strength, that we wouldn't take the light for granted, but we would recognize that as followers of Jesus, we have every right to be the most joyous people on the face of the earth. So help us, Lord, to live with your joy. This we pray in Jesus' name.